greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here around the world on WWRV. We're glad to have you in here with us tonight. Praise Yahweh. We've got a great program, and the title of the program is The Flood. We're going to talk about it tonight, and we hope that you stay tuned. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy's on the air tonight, and we got a great program for you. And I'll be right back after we introduce you as we're going to the mountain.
To
you as a family, if that he saved his own family by the skin of their teeth, and except the righteous fall away, the end won't come. That's what the Bible says. In that day, the righteous, the family, Noah's children, and himself and his wives were the only eight souls. Now, eight is happened to be a, I don't know where it was planned this way, but eight is the numerical value of a new beginning. Did Yahweh start out with Adam, an experiment? And the question is, was Adam the father of all of these races? Now, different species on the earth even now. Were they all destroyed back then, and they came from one man and one woman? I don't think so. I mean, nature itself will teach you that that's not true. That Adam cannot be the father of all of these variant, different races that are in the earth. We got several. Did Noah, for instance, did he go up to the North Pole and gather up all of the Eskimos? Were they living then? Did he get the species that lives in the north? You know, in the frigid area? Let's just say it was a condition in the earth that it was a constant temperature and there was no north. Did Noah go around, or did he summon all of the animals that were located across the earth? And all of the human chain that was across the earth? Because the Bible talks about other races, even giants. Did they survive? Were there any Canaanites after the flood? I mean, Cain, he lived before the flood. Was he destroyed? How did Canaanites get back here? So all of these things are prevalent and important. Now, most churches have firmly insisted that the Bible says that the whole earth, along with the ample proof of the flood, that it was worldwide. With this teaching, the churches have destroyed the faith of multitudes of people in the Bible. They have made atheists or agnostics out of hundreds of thousands of people who might have become Christians if they had been taught the truth about the Bible. Part of this mistaken ideal about the flood is due to the many, many mistranslations found in the commonly used King James Version of the Bible. Now, also, part of it appears plainly to be false if you merely carefully read even the King James Version. Now, let's look at it. In Genesis chapter 6, we read that Yahweh found the people so corrupt that he regretted that he had ever created them. And so he decided to wipe them out by flood. He warned Noah, the righteous, in his genetics. Now, look. Now, when it says Noah was righteous in his generation, that word generation is misquoted there. It's mistranslated. That should be in his genetics. Now, Noah's genetics was different from, say, another race of genetics. Different DNA. But he warned Noah of the coming flood. He didn't go all over the earth and tell everybody, well, there's a flood coming. Y'all get ready now. I love y'all. You're my family. He didn't do that. There's no evidence. And Noah was told to build a great boat or an ark in which he and his family might find safety and that they might preserve a few of each kind of animals from that area. 7 now, it tells how Noah received the final warning that the time was now at hand that he should move into the ark. When it says, according to the King James Version, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the waters prevailed, and they were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all of the high hills that were under the whole heavens were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and cattle, and a beast and creeping thing that is upon the earth, and every man. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now that's questionable too. And Yahweh remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And Yahweh made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water was assuaged. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month. Now that's strange, because that's actually 2 days after the Feast of Tabernacles. That's interesting. Upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month of the first day of the month were the tops of the mountain seen. That was on a new moon on the 10th month. Now let's see what the translators have done to what Moses originally wrote. And this is where the cheese gets binding and the truth gets revealing. A lot of people do not take time to go in and examine the original word as opposed to what word is in there that we've been given to believe. Now, you remember what the King James Version says, that the rain was upon the earth, and the waters increased greatly upon the earth, and that all flesh died it moved upon the earth. You remember that now? Okay. Definitely not. Remember in Genesis 4:14 when Yahweh had driven Cain away in punishment for his murder of Abel, the King James Version quotes Cain as saying, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth." So what did Cain do? Climb into his rocket ship and take off for outer space? I don't think so. He was not driven from the face of the earth, and he never said so. Only the translators said so. And so then, you see, you could get in trouble by not properly interpreting the Bible. We depended a lot on the translators. And in some cases, you can call them translators. And that's exactly what they are. I don't know whether it's intentional or not, but it's give people an improper meaning. And then, now that this is out, and now it's been told so long that the flood covered the whole earth. But it's not true. It's just a misunderstanding. The word that Cain used was Adama, meaning the ground. Yahweh had told him that his farming would no longer be successful. Remember that? So Cain said, "Thou hast driven me from off the ground." Now you have probably noticed that Cain's descendants today are not farmers. They run pawn shops and other money-lending institutions and things of this nature. How did they get back on the earth? You say, "Oh, they must have been on the boat. What is not mentioned? Only 8 souls were saved. Now we count Noah and his sons and their wives, that gets 8. And if Cain's descent, how many did he'd have to take? At least 2 of them. That'll make 10. And the Bible certainly don't say that. You see, there's a lot of problems here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get into more problems because they beg for an answer. And the word Ad-Amah, meaning the ground, and Cain's descendants, if they were destroyed, every living thing that breathed, it said, died. So Cain and his descendants, because none of them got on the boat, it's evident, only 8 was on the boat, with the animals. Now you say, well, maybe Cain was an animal. Well, he did act like one, that's for sure. That is for sure. But I don't think he was a giraffe or an elephant, although he did act like a monkey. When you come to Genesis chapter 7, now we're over here in Genesis chapter 7, where it's talking about the flood, wherever it says that the flood covered the earth, the Hebrew word used in the original writing by Moses was hirat, meaning the land. The flood did cover the particular land where it occurred because it was a local flood which covered one particular region of land and not the whole earth. When it said it covered the whole earth, that's not true. Hirat doesn't mean the whole earth, as the translators put in there. It means regional. It covered the region of where Adam had raised his sons and their descendants had lived in this area. And I'm going to tell you where it's at just in a minute. Now, again, notice that it specifies that 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail and the mountains were covered. In ancient times, 2 different lengths of a cubit were used to determine the measurement. The sacred cubit, we know, was 25 inches, and the common cubit of 20 5/8 inches. Therefore, the waters would have had to rise above the tops of the mountains that is speaking of by either 25 feet 9 inches or 31 feet and 3 inches, according to which cubit that you use, and we'll use the 25, and that would have been approximately of 31 feet and 3 inches. If this is meant that all the mountains on earth were covered, the waters would have to cover Mount Everest, which is nearly 6 miles high, and therefore all the earth would be covered by thick water 6 miles deep. And in that case, they would have to run off when the flood subsided. Now, I don't mean that the Bible was badly mistaken. Only the translators made this mistake. The translators took the Hebrew word erat, which means that land, and mistranslated it to mean the whole world. And they do this frequently in the Bible. It came to pass in the days of Caesar Augustus when all the world was to be taxed. You know the world, and that word right there again in the Greek, even the Greek word, is misapplied. It didn't mean that. It meant that the land where Caesar, the Roman Empire, controlled, and it happened to be Palestine in that day that they were talking about specifically, so it wasn't the whole earth or the whole world. Now, we're going to look at the evidence that proves where that land was. If the whole earth was covered by 6 miles of water, then all nations must have been completely exterminated. Yet Babylon, Egypt, Chinese history runs right through that period without a break. The Bible gives the date of the flood as commencing in 2345 B.C. and ending in 2344 B.C. in Lower Sumer, later called Chaldea, and which occupied the same plains of Shinar to which Noah's family journeyed after the flood. The city of Ur of the Chaldeans was the leading city from 2400 B.C. until 2285 B.C., and its history is not broken by any account of the flood in that period. Farther to the north, Babylon, in modern-day Iraq, was rising to power about 2400 B.C., and reached to a great height of the civilization under the famous king Harubarak, who lived in the same time period as the Hebrew patriarch Abraham about 2250 B.C. Now remember, it was 1950 B.C. that Jacob set upon the stone at Bethel. And again, there is no break in the history mentioned in either civilization due to a flood. In Egypt, the 11th dynasty began to reign 2375 B.C., and over a great and a powerful nation it became, there is no mention. The 11th dynasty ruled about 2212 B.C. and were followed by the 12th dynasty, which ruled about 2000 B.C. There was no break in the 11th dynasty at the time of the Noah's flood, which was 2345 B.C. The nation continued to be large and powerful throughout that time period. Accurate history of China begins 3,000 years before Christ. The Shun King historic record of China shows that King Yao became the emperor to the throne in 2356 B.C., 11 years before the start of Noah's flood. And he ruled China for many years after the flood. During the reign of Yao, the Shu King reports that the Hua Ho River, which drains mountains and a great basin in Shiking province, had excessive floods for three generations. Here again, there is no break in history. The Chinese nation was not wiped out. Its own record shows that it continued in existence right through the period of Noah's flood. Back to Cain. Cain lived before the flood. The Bible said he went east and found him a wife. Did Cain go to this dynasty in the Orientals? The word for Cain is 7013 in the Hebrew. And it means, the definition in the Hebrew, is from an Oriental tribe. Cain's seed was from an Oriental tribe. Therefore, the Khazars, who are Oriental, Mongol, if you will, is now the ruling dynasty in the land of Palestine, occupied now as the nation of Israel, and they are from Ashkenazi, Abraham's grandson, from Japheth, not Shem. Again, the Bible is correct in stating that the flood covered only Erech, that land, not the whole earth. That land. And it came to pass in the days of Caesar Augustus that all the world was to be taxed. You don't believe that, do you? Well, then why do you believe this lie? Because of the mistranslation. Why don't you wake up? The translators are wrong when they change the meaning of what Moses really wrote in Genesis 7 and say that the flood covered all the earth, which is a misnomer. It leaves us to inquire where the flood did occur. Let's examine it. We start with Adam and Eve and trace where they and their descendants went. They started out in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:10, 14 tells us that a river went out of Eden, and this river divided into four streams. Its names were the Pison and the Gihon, neither of which can be identified among the rivers existing today, and Hiddekel, which is in the ancient name of the Tigris, and the Euphrates, which is still common. The Tigris and the Euphrates rise in what today is called the extreme southeastern Turkey and flows through present-day Babylon, which is the dynasty that mentions nothing about a flood. A little north in modern Iraq, making some allowances for the fact that many rivers have changed their courses considerably in the course of several thousand years, this still placed the Garden of Eden at the northern end of ancient Akkad. When Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3:24, it tells us that Yahweh placed a cherubim with a flaming sword at the east side of the Garden of Eden to keep Adam and Eve from returning and having access to the Tree of Life. If this guard was to accomplish anything, it must have been placed between Adam and the Garden of Eden. So we see that Adam and Eve were driven out to the east from Eden, and Adam's course would have naturally led him across northern Iran, around the southern end of the Caspian Sea, into what was formerly called in Chinese Turkestan, and today is known as Xiching Province in the extreme west of China. And there, located in Xiching, is a mountain chain that looks from space as a bowl. It's a mountain chain surrounded on the extreme west of China. And in the southern part of Xiching, there is a great basin rimmed by high mountains on all sides, but with an outlet on the eastern end through the mountains where the headwaters of the Hakou River, the Yellow River, now known as, it rises. This basin is today nearly all desert, but it bears evidence of a fertile and heavily inhabited past. Explorers have found ruins of ancient cities uncovered by the drifting sands of the desert. Also known, geological structure shows that in ancient times, at least beneath this desert, lays an enormous underground natural reservoir. Caverns filled with water. It is the same geological structure which furnishes artesian water in many parts of the world today. An abundance of water underneath a desert. Well, the water would have killed everything there and turned it into a desert. And with the drainage of the water down into the caverns of the earth beneath and in the rim mountains surround it, it would have taken it quite a while to drain through the Yellow River. These underground reservoirs were covered by waterproof layers of rock, which kept the waters beneath from overflowing out of the land surface above them, and in this mountain rim basin, then a fertile, well-populated land, Adam and Eve, or at least their descendants of a few generations, they were settled in this area. Now, if you listen and hear what the Spirit is saying, and knowing the words, that Adam was not the first man. He was only the first man in the present adopted family of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Of you, Adam, of you, the descendants of Adam, are now what we would know as the ancient Israelites. chosen by Yahweh himself from the seed of Adam and Eve and the many legendary battles that we've had over the years to maintain our spiritual integrity as well as our race in defending its rights to exist in this earth, where now we are down through the following generation, the inevitable of integration, intermarriages, and mongolization of all the races followed. And then it got to the point in that flood day that it became so bad that the family of Adam, a small family, a later introduction, we know that anthropologists tell us that the black race, the yellow race, and other races are much older, much, much, much older. That Adam is a recent, less than 6,000 plus years. Well, actually, it's less if you go to the genealogy and the downline from Adam. Adam's race is less than 6,000 years. We're in 5,756, thereabout. And so then, Adam is a recent introduction, and he is not the father of all these races. Yahweh was only trying to protect his family that he had chosen through Adam to be a special people unto himself, and was guarding the mongolization, the intermarriages, and the integration of Adam, who was a small people that was surrounded by many people of the earth that existed prior to Adam. And so then in this basin where the large majority of these race mixing, integration, intermarriages, and mongolization of Adam's kind was taking place, Yahweh was so displeased with that experiment that he killed all of these Adamites in the Turin Basin here because of their mongolization, and saved Noah, a man that had pure genetics, so that they could start again. Now, if Yahweh had no purpose in mind, which could be properly served by the Ecstatic and the dark races, there would have been no reason for him to create Adam. Neither could the purpose for which Adam and his descendants were intended to serve by fulfilled by a mongolized race. He didn't have that in mind. He set boundaries and separated the nations. In Acts 17, it declares that these races had boundaries. I mean, just like America right here. We would not have the black race over here among us had we not been led to let them come as slaves. And the consequences of this mongolization are described again in Genesis 6 and 5. And Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was continuously evil. And we find the word there mistranslated, earth, is the Hebrew word again, Eretz, which only means the land. The land of that area had become wicked. That particular land where his family was, where he guarded jealously, and there was a reason for using the Hebrew word. For this was the place where integration and mongolization had taken place, with its degenerative effects as compared to the qualities possessed by each race separately. Kind after kind was the command, and Adam and his family, descendants, began to be mongolized, influenced, integrated, and intermarriages with these races around the area, just like it is today, as it was in the days of Noah. so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were marrying, integrating, mongrelizing. And so Yahweh brought the consequences by bringing the flood into that land, not the whole earth. Remember that. That land, Eretz, which only means the land or the area, regional, that particular land. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why that the earth was not covered with a flood, 31.3 feet above the tallest mountain, and let's say that the tallest mountain was the 6 mile. The earth itself could not withstand the tremendous weight of all that water, and neither should it have to withstand, because we know, and you say, well, there's evidence, you know, and now here comes the Christians trying to defend the 6,000 years of the earth, and it's no older than it. And I have read and read arguments after arguments that the earth is not over 6,000 years old. And it's a Christian that's leading this charge to defend what they believe that the mistranslated King James Bible is implied, and they're trying to defend the mistranslations. Which, if they would only take into account that the ancient peoples of the earth, the anthropologists, there's proof positive, including the fact that Cain and his descendants and the giants, and we're going to prove just a minute, that even before the flood and after the flood, they still existed. We say, well, Noah hit them. You know, I've heard this argument. Well, they were so high-tech back then in Noah's day that he didn't really go out and get animals. He just went and collected their DNA and swabbed their mouth or whatever, and then he reinvented the wheel after the wheel was destroyed. That's not true. All Noah did was to keep the animals for his own, wherever he's going to sit down, wherever Yahweh took him out of the area, and we know it was on Arat, and that word is in question today. Everybody thinks it was in Turkey, between Russia and Turkey on Mount Arat, and there is a mountain over there that's named Mount Arat. And a lot of people have gone up there and supposedly found the boat, and things of this nature. But whether they have or whether it doesn't matter. We just know that it happened, but we do positively know it wasn't worldwide. That's the point that I'm trying to make. We could discuss the other points, that the boat is up on Mount Arat. Fine. Nobody's ever brought anything to the attention of the world to prove it was. However, that boat existed. It was a real boat, and probably somewhere in earth, and it could be up on Mount Ararat. I do not know. I do know that some men have seen the image of it from satellite or photographs. It says it's up there on that mountain, and yet the weather is so inhospitable that they can't get a season up there of continuous good weather where that they can go in and examine and prove it for sure. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 6 and 9 that God, Yahweh, spared Noah. In the King James Version, it tells you that Noah was perfect in his generations, a meaningless phrase. When anything in the King James Version of the Bible fails to make good sense, it's a sign that you should go behind the mistranslations to see what the words were in the original Hebrew or Greek. The word here translated generation was the Hebrew word tulada, which means ancestry. That is, Noah was perfect in his ancestry. genetics was a purebred and not mongrelized with the peoples of the land. Noah and his family were the last remaining pure-blooded Adamites. Now, did you find that difficult to believe? When the Bible confirms that the Adamites are less than 6,000 years of age, and that the black race, the yellow races, the dynasties that go way back B.C. into a time even before that we have the Adamites in the picture. So, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says that the beast of the field was made, and that man was made, and was created. Well, we find that after the creation, there was a rest period, and yet there wasn't a man to till the ground in this area of the Garden of Eden. It don't mean that there weren't other men around to till the ground somewhere else, because we get our food from the ground, the earth. We grow our food. Or we get them from animals. And so then, the Bible is taken literally and mistranslated to think, well, Adam was the first man, and from Adam came the black man and the white man, and probably the little green men on Mars, wherever they're at. I mean, you know, it's insane to think that Adam, whatever color he was, be him white, yellow, or black, or a combination of the other colors, has to produce after his kind. If Adam was a white man, and I believe he was, he produced a blushing people called Caucasians. And the evidence is historical, legendary. And yet, they were not the first people living on this earth. Anthropologists will tell you that the blacks and the yellows, that they have found bones of giants. And we know that the giants still existed after the flood. But it said it killed every breathing thing. If the flood was worldwide, that would not have been possible. Cain wouldn't have been impossible. It would have been impossible for him to live unless Noah took him on board. Like a lot of these peckerheads say, and, you know, that's plumb out of reason. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get real and fess up to the truth and look at it and rightly divide the scriptures and see exactly what the Bible is trying to tell us. Noah was the last remaining pure-blooded Adamite. Now, whatever color Adam was, then Noah was a pure descendant, 10th generation descendant of Adam. Now, Yahweh had to save Adam to preserve the seed in its original form. Now, let's look at some other evidence to support the view that this was the region where Adam and Eve and their descendants settled. Remember that Adam and Eve were driven out of Eden and went eastward. Later, Cain murdered Abel, and as a punishment was banished from the land where Adam and Eve lived. Now remember, they were no longer in the Garden of Eden. They were driven out of the garden and lived in a specific area, just Adam and Eve and Cain. Now we know that Adam had daughters. A lot of people think that Cain married his sister. But the Bible says he went east. And if he, in this province that I've told you about, in the western slopes of China, where the Himalayas go up 6 miles here in that region and form a basin, the Tarim Basin there on the western slopes of China, between Mesopotamia where they lived. Genesis 4:16 is going to tell you that Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. The Hebrew word Nod means wandering. That is, the upper Tigris and Euphrates valleys at the north of Eden, these rivers were running swiftly downhill from the mountain sources, and still do. Therefore, they cut themselves deep channels in the ground, and even today, you can find traces of the ancient diversion dams built by the ancients to raise the water level up close to the surface of the ground so that they would not have to pump it so high to get it into their irrigation canals. Now, further to the south, in the lower Tigris and Euphrates valleys, where the slope was no longer steep, the accumulation of silt picked up by the rivers where they ran swiftly was now settling to the bottom of the riverbeds and consistently raising the level so that every high water season the rivers overflowed their banks and flooded the valleys just like they do in the Mississippi Valley or the Nile, where annual floods washed away the people's houses and sent them fleeing far away to the higher ground, going on even today as we speak, that problem. Therefore, it was correctly called the land of Nod, or the land of the wonders. Cain settled and taught the people to build high dikes along the riverbanks, just as we've done along the banks of the Mississippi or the Nile or wherever, on the river, the Amazon is another good one. This enabled them to stop the annual floods so that they could now build permanent cities, and that's what Cain did, of good houses in the lower Tigris and Euphrates Valley, the land then called by its own inhabitants Sumer and later called Chaldea. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're giving you a little history lesson here, and we're going to involve a few more accounts as time has almost got gone. I might have to do a two-part on this. Now, let me give you another bit of evidence. In Genesis 11, which tells us that after the flood, Noah's descendants journeyed from the east until they came to the land of Shinar. Therefore, they had to come from someplace east of the Tigris and the Euphrates Valley. The only place where such a flood, as the Bible describes, could have occurred eastward from the Tigris and the Euphrates is the mountain basin in Shechem, which I have done discussed to you and talked about. Now, another bit of evidence is found in the high water mark found in many places along the mountain which rim the basin, showing that at one time this basin was a lake extending to a well-marked shoreline. The mountains which rim the valley were not fully covered, for many of them range from 16,000 to 25,000 feet in height, and one even raises to over 28,000 in this area. But within the basin are several smaller mountains which could have easily been covered by the flood held within the higher rim of the valley. In short, this basin, through which flows the Tarim River, and which sometimes known as the Tarim Basin in southern Shechem, is identified as the site of Noah's flood. In your King James Version Bible, in Genesis 7:11, it reads that in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day, the same day, were all the fountains of the great broken up, and the windows of heaven opened, and the rain is coming down again for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, if you look at a more careful translation, it makes it clear what really happened. In the Moffat, the modern English translation, it says, the fountains of the great abyss burst, and the sluices of heaven were open. In Smith and Goodspeed's American translation, it says, the fountains of the great abyss were all broken up, and the windows of the heavens were opened. This is, a great earthquake broke up this waterproof layer of rock over the immense water-filled abyss of caverns beneath the Tyne Basin, causing the floor of a valley to settle and allowed the enormous underground reservoirs to overflow, and that's exactly what the Bible says happened, and submerged the valley floor. The great earthquake in the Himalaya Mountains about 10 years ago produced a similar effect in some places, of course. The 40 days of torrential rain added to the flood, this filled the valley high enough to submerge the low mountains, which were inside the valley, exactly as Genesis 7, 19 through 20 says. Don't be misled by the mistranslation. All the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. The word mistranslated heaven is merely the Hebrew word shanith, meaning the sky. Since this Tyrrhenian Basin is somewhere more than 350 miles wide, more than 650 miles long, all the sky visible from anywhere near the center of the valley could cover only this valley, and therefore only those lower mountains which were within the valley itself. Now, I've got to close here. But I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, that the flood was not worldwide. Now, I'll be back tomorrow night to finish up on part two. I'll do a two-hour series on this and get into some more of the mistranslations and show you that the mistaken and unscriptural notions commonly called in all the churches that the flood was worldwide, when in fact it was only regional in the area that Adam, descendants Noah, lived. And Noah and his sons and his wives, eight souls, nobody else got on the boat. And the rest of the people of the earth, and the earth was highly populated with these other races, Yahweh was only interested, as I said, in the people that he had chosen in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. You of all people in the earth have I chosen. You of all people. Ladies and gentlemen, the flood was not worldwide. The flood was not worldwide. The flood was not worldwide. But to the sons of Adam, did you know that the Bible says that Yahweh went and preached to these same souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah? You think he preached to everybody? I don't think so. He went and preached to the sons that he claimed as his own special family. You of all people. He said, well, Pastor Buddy, you know better than that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know better than that. I just know the truth of the Bible. When it's rightly divided, it's placed within the area of faith. And Yahweh would give you an understanding and know the truth. And the truth, he said, would make you free. I want you to be free in your mind. I want you to love Yahweh. I want you to know that you've passed from death into life, and I want you to know that there is a way that seems right. We've been drilled through tradition. We've mistaken the bad translations, and we've taken it and run with it, when we should sit down and study to show ourselves approved, workmen that need us not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary tonight. 1-877-289-7439. Call him tomorrow between the business hours of 9 to 5 and tell me you're Pastor Buddy on the radio. Help us and support us. We need your help. If you've got any extra tithing to send to the Shepherd's Call Ministries, we would be glad to receive it. Call Dr. Gary there at 1-877-289-7439, or you can call Pastor Buddy. Area code 423-626-2172. I'd like to thank all of those that tithe and support the Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call and make it possible for us to stay on the hour. ladies and gentlemen, and we're on 5 nights a week live. We don't do any taped program. I haven't done since we've been on the radio. We've done every program live. We spend a lot of devoted time to this issue, and we study on behalf of you, the listener, that tunes into the Shepherd's Call radio program. If you would do your word search, if you'd like to have some help, or if you'd like to have this series that we're doing, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now again, area code 423-626-2172, or you can call Pastor Buddy at area code 423-626-2172, or you can write me again. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. We love you, ladies and gentlemen, and we're praying for you, and we want you to know that Yahweh loves you, and He's coming for a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied His name. Do you love Him tonight? If you do, call Pastor Buddy, and let's climb up this mountain to get above the floodwaters of ignorance and hang on to the joy of the truth. Yahweh will let you know the truth, and the truth will make you free, just like Noah escaped and the seed was saved. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. This time it's not going to be the water. It's going to be the fire. And this time, He's going to hunt down the enemy. It's the enemy that's going to be destroyed this time. First time Yahweh destroyed His own. Then He went and visited them in prison and preached to them that they might have another chance. Yahweh bless you. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow night at 11 p.m. around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WRB 3.185, Clear Channel. It's a transmitting Jewel of the South. Yahweh bless. I love you.